The book of Deuteronomy. We come to the fifth book in the Bible. We also need to remember that this is the fifth and the final book in that section of books known as the Law or the Pentateuch. This is the final one, and it's going through this section. Remember, we started in the book of Genesis, where we saw the beginning of all things. Now we come to the book of Deuteronomy, which is a book of redemption, and it is a book of review. As we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, let me just mention a couple of things for you. First of all, it contains 34 chapters. It has 959 verses. 959 verses. And as we look at this fifth book of the Bible, four things that we want to notice together. Number one, the introduction. The introduction. And in considering the introduction, let's begin by noticing the name. The name. The Hebrew name given to this book means the words. It means the words. And this title is taken from the first verse of the book where it says in Deuteronomy 1:1, these be the words which Moses spake. And so the book of Deuteronomy means the words. Later on, when the book was translated into the Greek language, it was given the name Deuteronomy, which actually means second law. Second law. This does not mean that this is another series of commandments that God gave to His people. That's not what it means. What it means is that this was a repetition and a adding on to the laws that God had given them at Mount Sinai. And so this second law that is given in the book of Deuteronomy, it is a review of what had come before, plus some clarifications in various areas. And remember, this is for a new generation of Jews. Remember, the generation that came out of the land of Egypt, the generation that received the tablets of stone at Mount Sinai, all of that generation died in the wilderness, remember? We saw that last week in the book of Numbers. But now they have come, they're getting ready to cross over into the land of Canaan. And so to this new generation of Jews, Moses stands up and he speaks the words that we find here in the book of Deuteronomy, the second law. Notice also letter B, the penman. The penman. Again, while we know that God Himself is the author of this book, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, we also know from the scriptures in John chapter 1, verse 17, along with Jewish tradition and church history, all of these are unified in their statement that Moses was the penman of this book. That Moses was the one who wrote these words. However, Bible critics in recent times have attacked the idea that Moses was the writer of this book. And their argument is simply this: how could Moses write a book that records his own death? How could Moses write a book that records his own burial and his own mourning? How could Moses write about things that happened after he had died? And of course, for those of us who believe that the scriptures were given by inspiration of God, we really don't have a problem with this, because since God was able to reveal to Moses things that happened thousands of years before his birth, with the creation of the heavens and the earth and all of those things that we saw in the book of Genesis. Since Moses was able to record all of those things that happened thousands of years before he was born, certainly that same God would be able to reveal to Moses things that would happen just a few days after his passing. And so for us who believe in the inspiration of Scripture, it's not a problem. that Moses wrote about his own death, his own burial, and the mourning that succeeded him. And so therefore, because of that, we will ignore the foolishness of men who are basically educated beyond their intelligence, who will seek to argue and to claim that Moses was not the man that God used in the writing of this book. Moses is the writer. And then let her see the date. The date. This book was written at the end of Israel's 40-year period of wandering in the wilderness. It was written after they finished their wandering. It was written just before Moses died and was buried by the Lord. And so the date of this writing would be around 1405 B.C. Around 1405 B.C. Then number two, the purpose. The purpose. The book of Deuteronomy is actually a series of farewell messages. You remember God had already told Moses that he could not enter into the land. Remember, we talked about it last week. Because he had disobeyed God in the matter of the smiting of the rock, God said, Moses, you're not going to go in the land. You can see it, but you will not enter in. You're not going to be able to lead the people into the land of promise. And so this book of Deuteronomy then is actually a series of farewell messages. And it's at this time Moses was about 120 years old. And these messages are addressed to a new generation of Israelites who had survived the 40 years of wandering, and they are now ready to go in and to take possession of the promised land. It's clear from the scriptures that these addresses were first delivered to the people of Israel orally. They were oral messages. Moses spoke these things. But then later they were written down. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 3 and chapter 31 verse 24 to verse number 26. And just like the book of Leviticus, Deuteronomy contains a lot of legal details. It contains a lot of legal details, but the difference is this. In the book of Leviticus, you remember the emphasis was on who? It was on the priest, right? It was on the Levites. But now in the book of Deuteronomy, the emphasis is going to be on the people. It's going to be on the nation as a whole. This is the emphasis that we find that is given. If we were to choose a key verse for this book, I think the key verse would be Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, and verse number 13. Good passage of scripture that it would do us well to memorize and to implement in our own life. And here's what Moses said. He said, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Tremendous passage of scripture, isn't it? Certainly an admonition that we ought to follow. And so this book was simply for the nation of Israel. It was a series of messages designed to call the people of Israel to absolute holiness, absolute obedience to God. The purpose of the book was to remind this new generation, those who had not seen the great works of God in the Exodus, those who had not seen the great miracle of God in opening the Red Sea, this book was to remind them that they must not forget God's law. They must not forget God's law. Notice number three, the story. The story. The book of Deuteronomy is the record of how the old covenant, which was given at Mount Sinai, was renewed and ratified in the plains of Moab. Moses accomplished this, as we've already mentioned, through a series of sermons. In fact, there is a series of three sermons that we find here in the book of Deuteronomy. a series of three sermons, and then there are some final words that are given, some final words of admonition and instruction. As we look at the book, we see, first of all, the first sermon that is recorded. The first sermon is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5, and running through to chapter 4 and verse number 43. And in this section, we find a couple of things. First of all, we see the review. There is a review that is given. In this section, Moses reminded the people of Israel of God's faithfulness. He reminds the people of how God has proven Himself over and over again to be a faithful God. And so he did this by giving a review of their history to show how that God had been faithful to bring judgment on Israel's unbelief. You remember we mentioned before that God is always faithful. Many times when we think about the faithfulness of God, we focus on the fact of how God is faithful to bless those who obey. But let me remind you, He's just as faithful to judge those who disobey. If you disobey, if you rebel against God, then mark it down, God is going to be just as faithful to deal with you in chastisement as He will be to bless you if you obey. God is faithful, but that faithfulness is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Cuts both ways. And so Moses reviewed for them the faithfulness of God to bring judgment on Israel's unbelief. But then secondly, also, he reminded them of the faithfulness of God to bring blessings on Israel's obedience. And he talks about how that God had delivered them. How that God had delivered them as a nation. How that God had provided for them in the wilderness. Not only did God bring them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, but He provided water for them to drink. He provided manna for them to eat. He also gave His protection to them against the enemies that would seek to rise up against them. And the lesson that Moses desired for the people to learn from this historical review was very simple. It was very simple. The lesson was simply this: obedience always brings blessing. That's not hard to figure out, is it? Not hard to understand? Obedience always brings blessing. The other side, disobedience always. Remember, God is faithful, right? God is faithful. So just as obedience always brings blessing, disobedience always brings judgment. It always brings judgment. And so we see the review that was given. Then we also see the challenge that was given. The challenge that was given. In this section in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses gave the challenge to the people, and the challenge was simply that they should hear the Word of God. That they should hear it. By the way, that's not just hear with the ear. That is to hear with the intent of obeying that which has been said. And His instruction, His admonition, His encouragement to them was that they might hear the Word of God. That was the first sermon, a review of their past and a challenge to walk in obedience to the Word of God. Then we find the second sermon, letter B. His second sermon, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 44 to chapter 29, verse number 1. That was really a long sermon, wasn't it? From chapter 4 all the way to chapter 29. I bet if I preached one that long, you would complain. Anyway, he preached a long sermon here. Preached a long sermon. And in this sermon, Moses reviewed for the nation of Israel exactly what it is that the Lord God expects of them as His chosen people. Now, God had saved them. God had delivered them. And all of that had been by His grace, right? All of that had been by His wonderful grace. But the fact that they had been saved and delivered by the grace of God did not change the fact that there were some expectations that God had of them. Same thing is true for us. We are not saved by our works. We're not saved by doing this, doing this, doing this. We're saved by grace through faith. But once we get saved, there are expectations that God has of us. There are some things God requires of us. And so in this sermon, Moses is going to review for the nation exactly what it is that God expects of them as His chosen people who have been saved by His grace. And so we find, first of all, the command that is given. Moses gave, he gave a twofold command. First of all, he said that they are to love God. They are to love God. That means He has first priority in their heart. That's what it means. Remember when you fell in love? Some of you, that's a long time ago. But you still remember, right? Remember when you first fell in love and that young lady or that young man, and that was all you could think about. What happened when you fell in love? They became your number one priority, right? They became your number one priority. That's exactly what it means. When it says that we are to love God, that means He is our number one. He's our number one priority. And so the command, first of all, was that they were to love God, but then not only were they to love God, they were to obey God. They were to obey God. And so those were the command that was given. It was a twofold command, to love God, to obey God. But then we see, number two, the instructions that were given. After giving the command, Moses then reviewed for the people those laws and precepts concerning how they ought to live as God's people. How are they to live as the people of God? And here Moses reviews three things. First of all, he reviews what the Scriptures call the testimonies. As you go through the Bible, you find there are different names that are given to the Word of God. Different names that are given to the Bible. And one of the names that you'll find given is the word testimonies. God's testimonies. Well, what is that talking about? Well, when you see the Scripture speaking of God's testimonies, it is speaking of our moral duties before God. Our moral duties before God. Moral duties included a restatement, an expansion of the Ten Commandments. Moses reviewed that for this new generation of Jews. Not only that, there was an exhortation not to forget God's deliverance. Even though they had not experienced the Exodus, they had certainly heard about it. And Moses' admonition to them was that they should not forget what God had done for them. And so there were the testimonies. And then there were what is also called the statutes. God's Word from time to time is also referred to as statutes. Remember, testimonies are moral duties. Statutes are religious duties. Religious duties. And in this section, Moses reviewed for the people and reminded the people how that they were to be faithful in their sacrifices to God. They were to be faithful in their tithes to God. They were to be faithful in observing the feast that God had established for them as a nation. And so their religious duties, these statutes that Moses reminded the people of, involved their personal worship, their personal walk with God. And then there is what the Bible calls the ordinances. The ordinances. The ordinances had to do with citizenship duties. In other words, what are their responsibilities as citizens in this nation of God's chosen people? The ordinances. And here we find that Moses speaks of two things in this sermon. He reviews for them, first of all, their civil duties as good citizens. But then he also speaks to them of their social duties as good citizens. And so Moses reviews for this new generation the testimonies, moral duties before God, the statutes, religious duties before God. And he reviews for them the ordinances, how they are to be good citizens in the nation that God has chosen. Moses reviews all of that for this new generation of Jews. And then thirdly, he gives the promise. He gives the promise. Moses ended this second sermon by stating the promise of God. Stating the promise of God. And we keep repeating it over and over again because we're so quick to forget it. The promise of God was simply this: God will bless those who are holy, and God will curse those who are unholy. And the Lord God ends with that great invitation. He says, I set before you this day blessing and cursing, right? Your choice. You can either choose to ignore my word and be cursed, or you can choose to obey my word and be blessed. I put before you blessing and cursing. I put before you life and death. How are you going to choose? And Moses gives the admonition. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. The admonition is what? Choose life, right? Choose blessing. Choose to obey God. Choose to walk in obedience to the Word of God so that you might live. And so that brings a conclusion to the second message. Then we find the third message. The third message goes from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2, to chapter 30, verse number 20. And in this third message, we find that Moses reminded the people of Israel once again. He reminded them of two things. First of all, he reminded them of their past. He reminded them of their past. You know, sometimes it does us good if we will just stop and remember where God brought us from. You know? Sometimes it would be good just to look back over our life and see where we were and what we used to be and the direction that we were going and where God then turned our life and changed everything. That's what Moses encouraged the people of Israel to do. He said, you need to remember your past. You need to remember how God brought you out of the land of Egypt, how He brought you through the Red Sea, how He brought you through the wilderness, how He's brought you to this good land. You need to remember. You need to remember your past. But not only that, he said to them that they needed to remember their promise. They needed to remember their promise. You remember the nation of Israel had made a promise and they said, we will serve the Lord. He will be our God and we will walk in obedience to His commandments. And Moses said, you need to remember what you promised. By the way, the same is true for us, is it not? Many times we make promises to God. Many times we tell God, God, I'm going to do this, and I want to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other thing. And then as time goes by, how prone we are to forget the promises that we made to God. Let me just remind you of something. You may forget your promises. God does not forget. That's why the Bible says that it is better not to make a vow, it's better not to make a promise to God than it is to make a promise and not keep it. It's better. Moses said to the nation of Israel, you need to remember your past. You need to remember where you came from and you need to remember what you have promised to God. And then Moses concluded the sermon, as we've already mentioned, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. He said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou mayest, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." So the third sermon. Then I want you to notice letter D, his final words. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1 to chapter 34 and verse number 12. And in these final words, we find seven things that are spoken of in these final words. First of all, we see his declaration. His declaration. In this declaration, Moses declared to the people that God would give them victory. If they will walk in obedience to God's word, if they will love God, put God first in their life, that God would give them victory over every enemy that would rise up against them. He also spoke of, number two, his appointment. His appointment. In other words, Moses begins to introduce Joshua. Moses realizes that he will not enter into the land. He is, even though he led them out, he is not going to lead them in. That responsibility is going to go to his successor. By the way, let me just tell you that God oftentimes changes leaders, but his movement keeps going on. And so even though Moses was being moved off of the scene, God had another man in the wings ready to come up, Joshua. And so Moses makes the appointment and he begins before the people, he begins to lift up Joshua. This is going to be your leader. This is going to be the one who will take you in to the land of promise. And then we see his praise. His praise. We find here a song that Moses wrote. The song of Moses. A song that he wrote and sang in praise to the Lord God for all of the blessings and all of the wonderful things that God had done through him and for the people of Israel as a whole. Then we find not only that, but number four, we find his blessing. Moses then pronounces a blessing on each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And after he is done giving his blessing, then we find number five, his death. His death. God takes Moses up into a mountain. It's called Mount Nebo. The same mountain is also called, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1. It is also called Mount Pisgah. But God takes Moses up into this mountain and after allowing him to look across the Jordan Valley and to look into the land of promise, he's able to view it from the mountaintop. And after doing that, there Moses died. And the Bible says that God buried him. And that to this day, no man knows where Moses was buried. No man knows where Moses was buried. I think there's a reason for that. I think God hid the body of Moses because he knew the people of Israel. And he knew that if Moses' body was not hidden, you know what they would do? They would bring that body down. They would make a shrine out of it. They would be bowing down and worshiping the man of God instead of the God of the man. And so God buried him to protect his people from sin and from idolatry. And so there on the mountain, Moses died. And then number six, we see his mourning. The Bible says that Israel mourned for Moses. After his death, they mourned for him for 30 days. They had a time of national mourning for Moses. And then we find his legacy. The legacy is stated for us in the end of the book, and it is simply that there was never a leader like Moses. Never a leader like Moses. What a legacy to leave behind. Now we come to number four. I want us to notice very quickly the revelation. The revelation. We saw before in our study of Exodus how that Moses was a type of Christ. Moses was a type of Christ in his birth. He was a type of Christ in his life. But here we find three ways in which Moses is a type of Christ, and this is seen in the offices that he filled. First of all, Moses served as a prophet. He served as a prophet. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Of course, this prophet here that Moses said is going to come, this prophet who would be like him, that would rise up out of the midst of the nation of Israel, this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy concerning the Messiah who would come. Now, a prophet was actually a mediator, you remember. I think we mentioned this before some weeks ago. How that it was the responsibility of the priest, the Levites. Their job was to represent the men to God. They would bring the offerings and they would represent men to God. It was this way. The priest, the men, the priest, God. It went this way. But then when God spoke to men, it was God, His prophet, and the people. And so that was the circle of communication. Men went to God through the priest. God spoke to men through the prophet. Through the prophet. So the prophet was a mediator who stood between God and men. He spoke to men for God as he was led and directed by God. And to falsely claim to speak for God as a prophet carried serious consequences. Carried serious consequences. Notice it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. Here's the consequence. It says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name." Boy, I tell you what, if this law were carried out today, with the multitude of false teachers who claim to be speaking for God, right? If this law was carried out today, it'd be tough. Listen to what it said. "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak." In other words, if someone stands up and says, "I'm a prophet sent from God, and God said, da 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 da," and God said, "I didn't say that. I didn't send you. I didn't command you to speak." Even that prophet shall die. That was the command. That was the command. But Moses was a true prophet. Moses was a prophet who spoke only as he was directed and only as he was instructed by God. And the same thing would be true of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing would be true of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in John chapter 14, verse number 24, here's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "The word which ye hear, it's not my word. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." He didn't say, "I didn't come speaking on my own. I've only come to speak as directed by my Heavenly Father." And so in the fact that Moses was a prophet, He served as a type of Christ. Not only that, not only did Moses serve as a prophet, he also served as a priest. Moses served as a priest. A priest, you remember, as we've already said, that's the mediator who stands between God and men, and he speaks to God on behalf of men according to their need. When we see the priesthood of Moses, we think about the time when the children of Israel were worshiping the golden calf at Mount Sinai. Remember that? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses is he's reminding this new generation of the sin of the previous generation. And Deuteronomy 9, verse 25 and verse 26, Moses describes his priesthood. The Bible says, I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said that He would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. In other words, Israel sinned and Moses as a priest went on their behalf before God, pleading that God might have mercy on them, that God might save them. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus Christ does for us. That's exactly what Jesus Christ does for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, verse 25, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, but this man, talking about Christ, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. What is that priesthood? Notice it, verse 25. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Moses served as a prophet. He served as a priest. I think also as we look at his life, we can say that he served as a king. He served as a king. Even though Moses was never actually crowned as a king, he was never given the royal diadem of a king, yet he most certainly, as you find over and over again, as you study these five books of the law, you find that over and over again, Moses functioned like a king. He functioned like a king in the way that he ruled and in the way that he led the nation. In the very same way, our Lord Jesus Christ is a king. He is a king. He now rules over that spiritual kingdom of God by which men become citizens through the stage of a new birth. But there is coming a day when not only will He rule over a spiritual kingdom, He will rule over the physical kingdom of heaven during that millennium when He comes to literally sit on the throne of David and rule over the nations of the world. And so Moses, in his offices as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king, Moses gives to us a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we bring this to a close this morning, let me simply say that God has not changed. God has not changed. He is still absolutely holy, and He is still absolutely just. And even though we live in what is called the day of grace, I want you to understand that God still gives blessings, and He still gives life to those who will obey Him. And He still brings judgments. He still brings judgments. He still brings cursing on those who disobey Him. And so this morning I would say to you the same thing that Moses said to the nation of Israel. Here's your choice. Life, death, blessing, cursing. It's your choice. How will you choose? The admonition is, choose wisely. Choose life. Obey God. Follow His Word. And receive the blessings that He has for those who walk in obedience to His commandments. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this wonderful book.